Thank you. This is our fifth session of our present series in which we are dealing with the Arab states and prophecy. And we are dealing with the question of the Arab states and prophecy in three specific areas. Number one, we are dealing with it in the area of the root of the conflict. How did the animosity between the Jews and the Arabs begin? Secondly, we are then dealing with the issue of the perpetual animosity of the Arabs against the Jews since the two men, Ishmael and Esau, have died, and what has happened since then to our present day. And then thirdly, we shall be dealing after that with the future of the individual Arab states as we have them today. Now, so far this week, we have first of all dealt with the root of the conflict, and we pointed out the root begins with Ishmael and Esau, the two fathers of the Arab states. And within their own lifetime, they developed an animosity towards Isaac and Jacob, the fathers of the Jews, and they instilled this animosity in their descendants. As of our last broadcast, we began dealing with the second area of this perpetual animosity of the Arabs against the Jews. And we noted how it began very early, even as early as Numbers chapter 20, because the descendants of Esau would not permit their brother nation Israel to pass through their country. And we also looked at Psalm 83 verses 1 through 8, where we noted that the psalmist is describing a situation not of his own day and not at any time in ancient history, but one that has existed only since 1948 in general, but the Six-Day War in 1967 in particular. And that is that there has been this continuous perpetual war of hatred of the Arabs against the Jews. And we noted that the alliance described in Psalm 83 has never been true in ancient history, has only been true as of our modern times. For only in our modern days, since 1948, have all of these Arab states listed actually confederated against the Jewish state. Let's continue in dealing with the second area, the perpetual hatred of the Arab states against Israel. Another passage which describes this perpetual hatred is to be found in Ezekiel chapter 35, verses 1 through 5. And here Ezekiel says, "Moreover, the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I am against thee, O Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee a desolation and an astonishment. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate. And thou shalt know that I am Jehovah, because thou hast had a perpetual enmity, and hast given over the children of Israel to the power of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time of the iniquity of the end." Now Mount Seir is the mountain range that overlooks Israel from the land of Edom, and in this mountain range was the main bulk of the settlement of the descendants of Esau. In this prophecy, Ezekiel declares that God's hand is against Mount Seir, and his hand will move out in judgment. And he promises, God promises, to make Mount Seir a desolation. Now, the reason that the hand of God will move against Mount Seir, the hand of judgment against the Edomites, is given in the fifth verse. And that is because of Edom's perpetual enmity towards Israel, to the point that they were willing to turn the Jews over to the Babylonians, although Edom itself had been subjugated by Babylon. And for this crime against a brother nation, Mount Seir is condemned. But note carefully how the prophets declare Edom's perpetual hatred of the Jews. Now the small book of Obadiah, a book that contains only one chapter, Obadiah also speaks this very same point. In the book of Obadiah, verses 10 through 14, we read these words, "For the violence done to thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away his substance, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But look not thou on the day of thy brother, in the day of his disaster, and rejoice not over the children of Judah, in the day of their destruction. Neither speak proudly in the day of distress. Enter not into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, look not thou on their affliction in the day of their calamity, neither lay ye hands on their substance in the day of their calamity, and stand thou not in the crossway to cut off those of his that escape, and deliver not up those of his that remain in the day of distress." Obadiah condemns Edom for the same reason that Ezekiel the prophet did, for turning the captives of Israel over to their enemies. Now, while Obadiah is not speaking of the same time element that Ezekiel was speaking of, yet notice, although there is a lengthy time gap between the events that Obadiah is describing and the events that Ezekiel is describing, yet in spite of the span of time there intervened between the days of Obadiah and the days of Ezekiel, which could have been easily as much as 100, 200 years, yet Edom has had that same attitude, that same perpetual animosity, and has been willing to turn Jewish captives over to their enemy. So Obadiah condemns Edom for the same reason that Ezekiel the prophet did. And again, the reason for Edom's action was the perpetual hatred of the Jews. So then, while the root of the conflict began with Ishmael and Esau, they instilled the hatred of the Jews in their descendants. So ever since these two men, there has been a perpetual hatred of the Arabs for the Jews that continues even to the present day. And the hatred of the Jews has yet to have its greatest manifestation in the days of the Great Tribulation. And indeed, as bad as we have seen it on the part of the Arabs against the Jews, we have to also say the worst is yet to come. Now, in light of the root of the conflict that began in the early days of Genesis with Ishmael and Esau, in light of the perpetual animosity of the Jews that has continued since then to our present day and will continue into the Great Tribulation itself, what then is the future of the Arab states? What does the Bible say about the future of the individual Arab states that are now surrounding the state of Israel? Well, we can be basically optimistic in light of what the Bible has to say. In light of all this, the question is, will there be peace in the Middle East? And the answer is yes indeed. But this peace in the Middle East will not come in any kind of covenants, treaties, negotiations of any kind between Israel and the Arab states, or any kind of peace that may be imposed by the superpowers or by the United Nations. From the Word of God, we know that peace in the Middle East will come only by divine intervention from God. But this divine intervention from God will come in one of three ways. And peace will come between Israel and the Arab states in one of three ways, or in one of three forms. Number one, in some cases it will come by means of occupation. Secondly, with some Arab states it will come by means of destruction. And thirdly, peace will come between Israel and the Arab states with some by means of conversion. So again, peace will come between Israel and the Arab states, either by means of occupation, or by means of conversion, or by means of destruction. With that background, let's deal with the individual Arab states. First of all, let's deal with the land of Lebanon. Peace will come between Israel and Lebanon by means of occupation. This is not so much explicitly stated by the scriptures as it is deducted or derived from certain facts found in the scriptures. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 13 through chapter 48, verse 29, we are given the boundaries of the nation of Israel during the Messianic Kingdom. Now, if we were to take these boundaries of Ezekiel 47 and 48 and draw them on a map of the Middle East, one of the things we will very quickly notice is that part of the millennial and Messianic land of Israel will include all of modern-day Lebanon, with some of the northern Jewish tribes settling in what is now Lebanon. So according to Ezekiel chapter 47 verse 13 through chapter 48 verse 29, we can deduct that Israel will possess and occupy all of Lebanon. And so then peace will come between Israel and Lebanon by means of occupation. And a day will come when Israel will occupy all of Lebanon, not merely occupy militarily, but rather actually settle in Lebanon and settle by various tribes. But of course that will occur in the Messianic Kingdom. Now of course there are other Arab states surrounding Israel that we need to deal with, but our time is up for this week. So we shall continue with this series next week on the Arab states and prophecy, and we shall deal again with other individual Arab states one by one, as we have already done with Lebanon. So until next time, we bid you shalom.